Welcome to the program. It's hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. It is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I just retweeted a tweet. I always say to you, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Best tweets get read on the air. Exceptional tweets get retweeted. Then you get followers, you get action, and you can build your own brand. Take this guy, Hasty Burford. He tweeted at Jim Rome, worst DD caller. This goes back to Detective Dan at the end of hour number one. This guy writes, worst DD caller. He's got a poll up. Detective Dan, Dr. Dave, Dan in Denver. So I retweeted that. I'll participate. In fact, I will even pick somebody. Detective Dan, Dr. Dave, Dan in Denver, no-brainer. It's Dr. Dave. Vote. And right now, Dr. Dave is winning with 53% of the vote. Dan in Denver's got 34%. Detective Dan's got 13%. Go ahead. Participate in that. I retweeted that. Phone lines are open. Coming up later on this hour, Taco Fall. UCF Night Center. In hour number three, we're talking baseball with Scooter Jeanette of the Reds. Andy Green is the Padres manager. Big stories this morning. The Angels are going to lock up Mike Trout. 12-year deal. $430 million. That, according to Jeff Passan, that breaks pretty much every record that has anything to do with money. And understandably so. He earned it. He's worth it. They had to do it. I like it. Now get the guy some help. The Angels need it. Trout needs it. Major League Baseball needs it. You can't have not only the best player in the game, not only one of the best players of a generation, one of the best players of any generation, not play in the postseason. You have to have the best doing it on the biggest stage, and he hasn't. He's been in the postseason once. They got swept. I mentioned, how weird is it to see LeBron James not in the playoffs? Never mind not getting to the finals, but how weird is it to see LeBron James not even in the playoffs? Well, that's Mike Trout. But not as a one-off, not as an anomaly, but every single year. And it's not Trout's fault. Baseball's different. Get this guy some help. Also, in addition to that, I want to talk about the Giants. And the fact that if they were smart, they'd lay low. If they were smart, they'd stay down. But they're not. They're still doing things to get people to look at them, and I can't figure out why. The other big story right now is Hawk. Hawk. REP, the executive producer, Adam Hawk, is going to run in the LA Marathon. And I'm not really sure why he does crap like this. Like, understand that I've never, ever said, hey, a hawk? You're kind of a weird dude. You're kind of a dope. So let's use that dopiness and turn it into show content. I have never once said that to him. I've always said to him, hey, I need you to do this better. I need you to do this for the show. Like, I don't know if he's taking it upon himself or this is just kind of how he lives his life. But he keeps putting himself in position to become show fodder. And the latest is, he's going to run in a marathon. Except he stopped training for said marathon. And I'm trying to get a sense. I'm being honest now when I say this. I want to know what happens to a guy who's not physically, mentally, even emotionally prepared to run 26.2. I've never done it. I'm not a long-distance runner. I have no idea. So I'm trying to reach out to people who are marathoners or ultra-marathoners or Ironmen. What's going to happen to a guy that stopped training 2 weeks out, who started training way too late, and has not logged nearly the mileage he needs to take this on? And this is why I'm reaching out. Hey, Hawk, if you don't mind, pick up the headphones really quickly. So now it's Tuesday, and the marathon is Saturday, right? Or Sunday?
Sunday.
What did you do yesterday to prepare for said marathon?
I think I made some frozen corn dogs because we were in a pinch. Jeopardy was coming up and we didn't have any dinner ready. So I preheated the oven and made some corn dogs in preparation for Jeopardy.
You didn't go out to DoorDash for Carl's Jr. again?
I did not. No, not this time. DoorDash can get a little expensive. That was like a $30 order.
Did you get your ass in your car and drive down the street and get it for half price?
I should have. But, you know, we're taking care of a couple kids, so we used the convenience of DoorDash and some frozen corn dogs to get us through the night last night.
Some good, clean, burning fuel the week of the race.
Got to carb up.
Hawk, why are you wearing glasses right now?
Because my eyes were starting to be fatigued from the screen time, so I just put on the glasses.
God, dude, you're a mess. All right, so what are you going to do between now and the race besides slam frozen corn dogs?
Well, I think between I'm just going to stretch a lot. I am adhering to a strict regimen of stretching.
Are you going to run at all?
No, absolutely not.
Are you going to lift?
Nope.
Are you going to hydrate?
Sure, yeah. Lots of water and lots of stretching before the race, and that's it.
Are you concerned?
Yes and no. I fluctuate every single hour. Like, I get a bunch of people calling in saying you can do this, and I get a bunch of people calling in saying you're dead. And so I'm a victim of recency bias, so whatever someone tells me last is what I believe.
Recency bias, is that what you said?
Yeah, I learned that term from Alvin.
That's pretty good. He's educated, you're not. All right, Hawk, Godspeed.
Thank you.
I wish you all the luck in the world. And in the event that something really bad happens, you're not going to be missed around here at all. I'm not even sure what you do around here. All right, see you tomorrow. Or never again. Adam Hawk, EP, do you have any advice for him? Do you want to let him know how that's going to go? Because he's not done that before. He doesn't sound too concerned if he's smashing frozen corn dogs the week of a marathon. And again, to the answer or to the question, why does he not just quit? Why does he not just shut it down? Hawk's take is, I spent $190 on the entry fee. I'm running it. I said, Hawk, in the interest of self-preservation, if I were to say to you, here's $200, walk away right now, what would you do? His response to me was $500. Like, he literally was negotiating with me. I'm trying to get this guy an out as an investment in product, and he's trying to negotiate with me. Hey, Hawk, here's $200, man. Just save face. Save yourself the embarrassment of crapping yourself on the course, or worse. Just take the money and walk. $500. You know what Hawk was thinking? Hey, man, I can get him up to $300. $500. Hawk, $250. $300. Done. Oh, I'm so smart. Hey, Hawk, why don't you give me $200 and never show up here ever again? You're on your own, dope. Try not to die. And you best be here on Monday after that marathon. Dude, don't you dare not show up to work after that. Episode 74 of the Jim Rohn Podcast with Mark Schlereth. I saw him at Super Bowl. In terms of Detective Dan saying, hey, you know what? How many times have you gone to a bar and had a lady roll up on you and say, hey, yo, you look like you can run really far. Let's get the hell out of here. He said, no, but if you're throwing the weights around, she might come up and kind of rub on your pec and say, hey, you look like you lift weights. Let's go. That's my man, Mark Schlereth. When I saw him at Super Bowl, he was yoked. Yoked. I mean, I don't want to give away the podcast, but I said to him, bro, you look bigger now than you did when you played. He said, you know, I can't do cardio. All I can do is lift. And I said, that's funny. I can no longer lift. All I can do is cardio. We both kind of laughed. So that's coming up after the program, episode 74, Jim Rohn Podcast. Now let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. I'm paying for it. Let's go to Wisco. Nate in Wisconsin. Good to have you, Nate. How are you?
Oh, me. How you living, man? First time, long time.
Awesome. Good. How's Wisco? Where are you?
I'm just south of Green Bay. We had about 40 degrees, sunshine, and snow's going away. Life is freaking awesome.
Good, man. I like it. What's up?
Hey, look, I got some good words for Hawk. I'm actually a two-time Ironman. I was injured for both of my races. I had knee injuries, and I couldn't run more than 14 miles for either training period, and I finished both of those races just fine. Now, I didn't look good, and he probably won't either, but it's mind over body, brother. You got it. Just get some rubber under your feet, and you'll be fine.
The problem with that, Nate, I appreciate you, Nate. Good job. The problem with that is, man, the guy's, like, not that strong physically, but he's extremely weak mentally. So if it's mind over body, and that's what's going to get him through, he's got no shot whatsoever. The guy really is kind of like a mental midget. He's mentally weak. Hence, taking something on this like this on and then just shutting it down before it happens. You know, not seeing through what he committed to, not finishing what he started, just hoping it's all going to work out. It's just Hawk. Now, then again, Hawk, if you somehow get this thing done and you can finish this thing in under 5 hours, man, you'll be able to hold that over all of our heads, all of us, till the end of time. That'd be the ultimate, tell me how my tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Then again, Hawk, if you can't make it to mile 10, we've got that. Again, he's got to get it done. Adam, 5 hours or 5.5? If you come in at 5:31, do you not get credit for the race? Where did that number come from? What's 5.5 hours? Is that... All right, so his take is he thinks he read that on the website. He thinks that's when they remove the barricades and traffic resumes. Therefore, I mean, what, do they clear the track? Do they clear the course at 5:30? Dude, you don't even know. I mean, it's one thing for me not to know, but I'm not participating. Maybe you might look into all this stuff, Hawk. Hawk's response is, hey, boss, I'm focused on work. Not preparing for that marathon that's going to kick my ass. I'll tell you what, man. I'm thinking about driving alongside. I don't want to miss this. Who's documenting this? Who's getting video of this? Set it up. Set it up, man. Do your job. All right, short timeout. Taco Fall coming up at 40 past. When we come back, I want to talk about the New York Giants. Everybody's thinking about the NCAA tournament. The Giants, you would think, would not want you to think about them. Except it's the opposite. They don't want anybody to forget about them. For some reason, they keep bringing it back to them. For some reason, they want people to look at them and talk about them. And I have no idea why. My thoughts on that when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Episode 74 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Mark Schlereth is my guest. That's coming up after the program. Make sure you look for it. If you're already subscribed, it will find you. You will not have to look for it. If not, you want to get down, subscribe once, and then you'll be good. Now, everybody's thinking about the NCAA tournament, but the New York Giants, for some reason, would like you to not forget about them. And to be honest, it's kind of a weird strategy to me. It's bold. It's aggressive. It's borderline idiotic. Given how things have gone lately, if I were the Giants, I would stay down right now. I'd lay low, stay in my lane, hope that people lose interest, and forget about that dumpster fire that's blazing outside the facility. You know, the kind of things that the Patriots do in the offseason. Last thing, at least this season, offseason, last thing that I would do is try to get anybody to look at me. But that's exactly what the Giants are doing. Fresh off of blasting off a few toes off their foot with that Odell Beckham trade, they're back at it again. This time, it's GM Dave Gettleman talking about Eli Manning. I mean, all right, that makes some sense. People can disagree about whether drafting a running back where they did last year was a good idea or a bad idea. And they can disagree about whether it's a smart move to sign the best receiver in team history to a huge deal in August and then trade him in March. But if ever there was a topic that you would think would be a layup, it's Eli Manning and his future. And if you think that, Gettleman agrees with you. It is a layup, a total layup. Take it away, Dave.
This narrative that Eli's overpaid and can't play is a crock. I'm telling you.
Wait, what? What did you just say? That's not the layup that I was expecting. Dave Gettleman just took all of your takes on Eli Manning and dunked them in the wrong basket and then pointed at the crowd. You think Eli is overpaid? You think Eli can't play? Man, what a crock.
Crock.
First off, Dave, amazing word selection. Crock.
Crock.
Especially in the context as a shortened version of what you know what he wanted to say. Man, that is a crock of bleep.
Crock.
Using the word crock is almost as amazing as saying that the narrative that Eli is overpaid and can't play is a crock.
Crock.
Well, first off, let me make this clear. Eli Manning is a very easy target. No, seriously. He's a really easy target. He's gotten absolutely pummeled on the field and off it the last few years. And people have made this guy into a complete punching bag and blamed everything about the Giants on Eli. Easy target. Having said that, he's handled it all with complete class. When there have been numerous members of that team and that organization who have not handled things professionally, Eli has done so time and time again. So it's not about bashing Eli. The truth is, while he has struggled lately, he's not as bad as everybody makes him out to be. But at the same time, saying this narrative that Eli is overpaid and can't play as a crock, well, that in of itself is a crock. A real crock. A crock of bleep. And he wasn't done either. When talking about whether or not the team was going to bring back Eli Manning in 2019, Gettleman had this to say.
The way he finished the season and what he's making, there really wasn't a decision to make.
Wait, the way you ended the season? You ended the season with three straight losses. One of them was a shutout. Eli had as many picks as he had touchdowns during that stretch. So what about it meant that there was not a decision to make? The only reason why there was not a decision to make is because you didn't look for a better option, and that's on you. You won five games last year. You started the year 1-7. The only reason why the ending of the season did not look as horrible as the beginning of the season is because it couldn't have been any worse than the beginning of the season. And those four wins in the back half of the year came against Frisco, Tampa, Chicago, and Washington. Not exactly a murderer's row. But if you listen to Gettleman, he makes it sound as if they came this close to signing Eli to another extension. The team's gone 8-24 in the last 2 years. They've got a quarterback who is aging out, an offensive line with issues, a defense with holes. You would think now would be the time to start rebuilding. You know, just put some C4 next to the supports, hit the detonator, and go to work. But not Gettleman.
The object of this is to win as many games as possible every year. So we're building. We were 3-13 when I took over. We were 5-11 last year. 12 of those games were a touchdown or less. We're building.
Man, this is really confusing to me. And I would imagine to every Giants fan, because at that point, Giants fans' heads are exploding. I mean, I guess there's a universe in which Gettleman's right, I guess, in theory. But not in reality. Because the Giants have been trying to win and build for the past 2 years, and they've done neither. This is what he's saying. The object is to win and to build, and we're doing both. Yeah, well, they won 8 games in the last 2 years. They're not better for it. What the hell were they building? It seemed like they were trading Beckham, and that was a sign that they finally realized we do need to build. We need to rebuild. We're not close to winning. We need to drop a bomb on it and rebuild. But that's not what's going on. It was just that Gettleman was trying to do both and succeeding in neither. Apparently, according to Gettleman, when they traded Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon and they allowed Landon Collins to walk, they were not rebuilding. That was not about blowing up the team to get better in the future. That was about getting better for this year. You know, the classic move where you take a 5-win team and you get rid of Pro Bowlers and you become a better team. You know that playbook. Step one, win 5 games. Step two, get rid of good players. Step three, keep not good players. Four, win more games. I mean, how many times have you seen that plan? Sounds to me like this guy does not have a plan, or he has multiple plans. But you better not ask him about those plans because it's none of your damn business.
Very honestly, it's not my responsibility to tell you guys what I'm doing. That is not my, just like it's not my responsibility to respond to every rumor that comes down the pike. That's not my job.
I get it. I really do. You don't have to tell the media what you're doing. But your actions tell everybody that you have no idea what you're doing. Hey, Giants fan, are you clear on Gettleman's plan? Because I'm not. In fact, right about now, I'd rather be the Jets than the Giants. And in what lifetime did you ever think that you would hear that?
Crock.
It's a crock, man.
Crock.
Eli is not faded and he's not overpaid. It's an absolute crock.
Crock. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, Giants fans, it is a crock.
Crock.
Man, I keep waiting for other breaking Giants sign Eli to a 5-year extension. It's a crock.
Crock.
It is wedding season. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there before the end of the program. Taco Fall is going to join me in about 10 minutes. Hey, Rome. Trout is the best player of this generation. It's too bad we never get to see him play after September. With this massive deal and that relic Pujols making 28-plus for the next 3 years, the Angels look to have further cemented themselves as the team with the best player that never does anything. Here's to 12 more excruciating years of mediocrity in SoCal. Wore Bob Melvin, getting it done with less. Unwore that slob, Mike Socia. Josh in San Jose. The fact is they really haven't gotten it done. They haven't done anything. You can't have the best player of a generation and then bring him up through your system and then lose him and let him walk. And you can't have the best player of not only this generation, but any generation and never see the postseason. And they've only seen it once and they got swept. And it's not good enough. Now they've got to surround him with the talent that he needs. It's not his fault they're not getting it done. It does not fall on Mike Trout. Baseball is different. That'd be a shame. But not as bad as losing this guy to Philadelphia. Not as bad as bringing this guy up. The next Mickey Mantle and then watching him walk. They did what they had to do. They signed him to that contract. They did it with 2 years left. I mean, the worst thing of all would have been to go to the yard every single day for the next 2 years and have to speculate on what was going to happen. Have to listen to Bryce Harper say, hey, I don't give a damn. I want this guy. I'll do whatever it takes to get this guy. Oh, I'm tampering? Really? How much you want? Here's $1 million. That should cover all my fines. The only thing worse than having to hear that every single day for 2 years is having to hear that every single day for 2 years and then watching him walk. They did the right thing. They got that deal done. Now they have to do the right thing again and get him help. At the Real Left Hook tweets, my grand plan? Let's not get into that just yet.
Signed, Gettleman. Let's not get into that yet.
Dear Jim, I love what the Giants are doing. Bad moves and a look at me attitude go hand in hand. Yours? Swing dancing kooks who take up 3/4 of the dance floor because nobody wants to get kicked in the face. Signed, Brett from Bugahaw. Wore earlier when you said Hawk, R-E-P. It sounded a lot like Hawk, R-I-P. Dude is toast. It seems like the runners out there say it's like 50-50. He might be able to do it. And the other 50% is saying, I've done this so many times, he's got no shot. He is so far behind where he should be right now. It's going to end so badly. When we come back, Taco Fall, UCF Night Center is my guest. Top of the hour, Scooter Jeanette. Then Andy Green coming up in the third hour, too. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tournament action getting underway in a few hours. First game's coming up. And in a moment, we're going to run down Taco Fall, who is a center for the UCF Knights. Great story. Amazing story. Just going through these emails, not reading that, not going to read that. Dear Rome, unwore any guests bringing anything but cash is a wedding gift. Justin from Melbourne. Wedding season coming up. Also, next hour, we'll talk some baseball. Major League Baseball season gets underway tomorrow. Believe it or not, we're already here. Scooter Jeanette, Red second baseman, is at the top of the hour. Andy Green, Padres manager, coming up later on in hour number three. Once again, big story today. Mike Trout signs a big deal, reportedly. At least they have agreed on a big deal. 12 years, $430 million. $430 million. Closing in on a half a bill. It's a ton of money. Breaks just about every single record regarding money. Blows right by Bryce Harper, who was doing whatever he could to bring Mike Trout to Philadelphia. Couldn't get it done. Blew right by him by 100 mil. Reportedly gives Trout an annual salary of 36 mil. That's more than Zach Greinke's record of 34.4. It goes by Canelo Alvarez's contract with DAZN by 65 mil. Biggest contract in sports history. And again, timing was everything. They did not want this guy to be out there for 2 years. And that being the conversation wherever he went. They need him in the postseason. That's the big story. The other one, the NCAA tournament, as promised, we're joined right now by a center for UCF on the season. He averaged 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks per game. He is UCF's all-time leader in field goal percentage in a season and blocks in a career. UCF, 23-8 this season, 13-5 in conference play. They are a number 9 seed in the East. And they take on VCU on Friday. That is the CBS game, of course, 9:40 p.m. Eastern time. Taco Fall is my guest. Taco, it's so nice to have you on. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's great to visit with you. So UCF is going to the NCAA tournament, Taco, for the first time in 14 years. What was it like on Selection Sunday when you saw the team's name come up and you knew that you were going to go to the tournament?
I mean, that feeling was just indescribable. We've been waiting for this moment. I mean, ever since I got to UCF, that's something that I've been wanting to do, and it wasn't easy. The guys were in a lot of work. We went through a lot as a team, but we fought through it, fought through a lot of injuries last couple of years. But most of the guys came back, and we built the chemistry up, and we were finally able to pull it off. I mean, it was just indescribable.
Taco Fall, my guest, what about you individually? For instance, I want to get to your journey in a minute, but when you decide to go to UCF, it had been a program that had not been having a lot of basketball success. So what's it mean to you personally to be a part of the team that brought that program back to the NCAA tournament?
It means a lot. I mean, coming to UCF, I wanted to leave my mark. I wanted to do something that not many people were able to do, and I'm blessed to be able to accomplish that and be in that position. But that's definitely something that I wanted to do, come to UCF and leave my legacy here. And I've worked towards that the last 4 years. And I just put my head down and I was like, I'm going to do it. And I've had a lot of help with, the coaches, with my teammates. And I'm blessed to be able to be in that position.
UCF big man Taco Fall is my guest. Now, as I mentioned, your journey really is remarkable. Take me back. When you were growing up in Senegal, the story goes that your grandmother liked basketball. What did you think of basketball, though? Were you a basketball guy or maybe more of a soccer guy?
I was more of a soccer guy. I mean, I played soccer, not organized soccer, but like for fun. Back home, most of the kids play soccer. So after school, sometimes we would go, especially during summer breaks, we would just play soccer all the time. But my grandmother was really the basketball fan in the house. I wasn't really into basketball. I didn't understand the rules or anything. But I started getting pretty tall, and people started approaching my mom about me like potentially playing. But I never went through with it until I was 16 years old. And that's when I met this guy from this Flying Star Academy. His name was Ibrahim. He came over to my mom and talked to her about the possibility of me being able to come over to the States and being able to pursue my education, because that was very important for my mom. And at the same time, started to train and become a basketball player. And she accepted. And 6 months later, I was on my way here, and I was on my way to Houston.
Taco Fall joining us. That's amazing. So just so we're clear, how old were you when you left your family in Senegal and you came to the United States? How old were you? And at that point, how much basketball had you played?
I was 16. The amount of basketball, probably for like 6 months. That was the time that I spent at that Flying Star Academy. The guy that came over and talked to my mom. But before that, I never really played basketball. And then my first basketball game was here in Houston. When I came over here to State.
You talk about, it seems from the outside anyway, it seems like that would be incredibly hard and really brave to leave your family at such a young age. What was that like for you at that time?
It was very hard. I pretty much, my dad lived in Cincinnati, but I wasn't with him. I grew up pretty much with my mom. She raised me, so it was very hard not being able to be there with her and my little brother. He was 6 years old at that time. So it was just so leaving them behind was really hard for me. And coming to the States, I didn't know I didn't know pretty much anybody. And I never played basketball before, so I had to go through the growing pains of, you know, just learning the game and everything. But thank God I was able to pick things up pretty quick, even though it wasn't easy, especially with the body type that I had. I had to get stronger. I had to get faster because I never really – I mean, I played some soccer, but I wasn't really a great athlete. So I had to just keep working. And like I said, I had a lot of help from people just pushing me, constantly pushing me. And then the more I played the game, the more I started to like it. And then that's when I started really getting better. The more I liked it, the more I wanted to learn about the game. So I started to watch a lot of videos. Like I started to go on YouTube and watch a lot of great players, a lot of big specials, and just started to study the game and try to replicate whatever I was watching. And just from there, I just started getting better.
UCF big man Taco Fall joining us. So when you were watching YouTube, who were some of the bigs that you were studying and you were watching?
I started with a lot of old school bigs, Kareem, Hakeem Olajuwon, some Bill Russell. There wasn't a lot of Bill Russell clips that I could find, but a lot of Bill Russell clips that I saw were more like defensive clips of him blocking shots. And he had this one called The Art of Blocking Shots. There was that, and Shaq. I watched especially Shaq, and more. But at that time, Dwight Howard was still, you know, pretty big. So I used to watch Dwight. So mostly those bigs.
Taco Fall joining us, a big man for UCF. So Taco, earlier this month on senior night, your mother Marianne came from Senegal to watch you play. That was the first time you had seen her in 7 years. What was it like when you saw your mom at the airport?
It was very emotional, mostly on her part. I don't think she expected to see me, like, because when I left, I think I was 7'2", and I was skinny as a stick. But now I'm 7'6", 300 pounds. So when I left, I was pretty much a boy. But now she came back and saw a man, and she just broke down, and I went to comfort her, and it was really emotional.
It's incredible. So what was it like to have her at that game and to watch you play?
It was amazing. I mean, I tried throughout all that week. I mean, we had a pretty big game coming up, so I was really trying to lock in on the game. But at the same time, I just couldn't help but think. I felt like I was dreaming. Like, not one day have I not just thought about that moment, and finally to see it happen, it was just, I couldn't describe it how I felt.
Taco Fall, my guest, one more thing about that. You beat Cincinnati that day, and the fans stormed the court, and then you went to find your mom. I mean, it feels like something out of a movie. She described hugging you after the game as, quote, "It was like the day he was born when I held him in my arms. I can't describe the joy of seeing my son play for the first time." I mean, Taco, that is so heavy and so emotional. What was it like to share such a big win with her?
I mean, hopefully we can share many more moments like that. Like she's been my biggest cheerleader. She's the most important person in my life. Her and my little brother, pretty much. And I've had a lot of great moments, but just for the fact that both of them were there made that moment probably one of the best moments in my life ever.
Now, it's still challenging on the floor, though, right? Like, teams do not know exactly how to deal with you, and you get fouled all the time, and there actually have been times when you've heard opposing players or coaches even say, go after his knees. What's it like when you hear that?
I used to really get mad at it because I just couldn't understand, especially where I'm coming, where I come from, the culture where I come from. Like, how would you tell your players to do that and hurt another player, which, you know, and this is my career, this is what I love to do, and you never know what can happen. I can get hit wrong and my career is over just like that. So, but now I just try to fight through it and not think about it. I mean, I look at it for the referees. I mean, if people are human, people make mistakes. I don't think I get officiated, you know, like everybody else. It may be hard because I'm not like everybody else, so people get away with a lot of stuff that they do, especially when the court is so congested and I have so many people around me and all these fouls. I think that's actually how I hurt in my shoulder. I had a labrum tear from just all the banging that I used to, you know, that used to get me on the court, but now I'm just kind of used to it and try to fight through it.
Taco Fall joining me for another few moments. That said, Houston coach Kelvin Sampson said after a game, you guys had a huge, huge win. He said after the game that they did not have an answer for you, and that on defense, you take away half their playbook because of everything you do and how active you are. So how much pride do you take in the fact that you've developed your game to the point where you can take opponents completely out of the game on defense?
I mean, it's just knowing my value on the court. At some point I started realizing the gift that I had, and that could really change the game in so many ways, both offensively and defensively. There's nobody in the country that has my length. And for big my size, I feel like I'm pretty mobile. I can move, and that's something that I've worked on. I've not always been like that. I've really worked hard and studied a lot of things for me to be able to get here. And now it's just about using my abilities and playing to the way I know I can.
Taco, you know, you mentioned Kareem, and I can remember talking to Kareem back in the day, and conversation honestly did not go very well. And I remember the comment that he had made, or somebody had made, that it's not easy to be a 7-footer in a 6-footer's world. Your friends and teammates talk about the fact that when you go out in public, people constantly want to come up to you and they want to take photographs and they want to talk to you because you're 7'6" and you're always very kind when that happens. So how do you go about dealing with that?
I mean, now I'm kind of used to it. That's how I was raised. I feel like it's kind of rude to just, when people come up to you, you always try to be as nice as possible. That's why I'm really good at it. And now I'm just kind of used to it. But at the same time, like Kareem said, it's hard to be, you know, that big, especially in this world. And I definitely don't like being seen as a freak because that's what it may seem like. But for the most part, I'm pretty nice about it. The way I think about it is, if I saw someone that was 10 feet tall, I probably would be amazed too, and would try to come up to him and ask him questions and things like that. But now I feel like a lot of people know me just not by my height, but by the other things that I can do. And for me, it's just bigger than basketball. Basketball is part of, you know, it's a big thing that I do, but I'm more than that. So, yeah.
You are more than that. In fact, I know you had a deal with your mother that said that you had to get a degree, and you're going to graduate as a double major. So you are more than basketball. Taco Fall, UCF center. He is the all-time leader in field goal percentage in a season and blocks in a career. They are a 9 seed in the East, and they take on VCU on Friday. Taco, could not be happier to have you on the program and to meet you. Thank you very much for the conversation. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Could not be more impressed. What an awesome dude. Man, smart. Really, really smart, and has made himself into a really good player. 1-800-636-8686. Trying to get you as many different angles and get you ready for the NCAA tournament. UCF, VCU, Friday, 9:40 p.m. Eastern on CBS. That was Taco Fall, UCF Knight Center. When we come back, let me go back-to-back with you. We'll talk some baseball. Red second baseman Scooter Gennette is coming up. He'll start hour number 3. On the back end of hour 3, Andy Green, Padres manager, joins us. I can get phone calls in if you're good. 1-800-636-8686. Have you filled out your brackets? Who do you have in the Final Four? Who do you like tonight? Or if you want to go in a different direction, go ahead. Mike Trout getting paid. It's been a lot of days where it's been good to be Mike Trout. None better than today. Episode 74 of the Jim Rome Podcast drops after the program. Mark Schlereth is my guest. Stay tuned. Third hour coming up next.